Empowering Gita Reflections, a podcast to guide modern lifestyle with the wisdom of the Gita.
And so in fifth shloka is a Nirmana Moha Jitta Sanga Dosha Adhyatma Nitta Vinivritta Kama Dvandvair Vimukta Sukha Dukkha Santnir Gacchante Mulha Padam Avyayam Tat. So it's a very elevated, very loaded shloka. I wish to dwell on this a little bit, spend some time on it, because every word is a nugget. Nirman Moha. Man is, obviously we understand man of man, but I'm trying to bring out the sense of it, that I am something special, that I am someone special, that I have my own luster, that I am my own shine, that I am someone too, I am something too, and that a place should be given to me. My name should be taken. There should be space created for me. I should be received. I should be acknowledged. I should be recognized. All those feelings that there is a shine on, I bring my own shine, and I want you to acknowledge that. That desire, that sort of innate feeling that I hope my shine is, attention is paid to my own shine, right? We all have our own shine, but it's a shine of the spirit. But because we've forgotten that we think this form has that shine. And so that hankering after the recognition or the acknowledgement of our own individual shine is the man. And here the instruction is nirman. Yeah, without rid of it, not expecting any particular attention given to my own shine. In the 10th chapter, at the end of the 10th chapter, he says, well, I mean, so in the beginning, he says, I covered this in the morning, I just remember in the Marathi verse. In the beginning of the 10th chapter, he says that all of creation are just manifestations of my own sentiments. That's all this is. Madbhava manasa jata, esham lokam imam praja. Whatever is in any habitable, any system, any cosmic system, is literally just merely a manifestation of my thoughts. Madbhava. Mad is mine. Bhav is my thoughts, my sentiments. Manasa, in my mind. The thoughts that are emerging in my mind, jata, is they're taking birth. Because God is saying, I am so powerful, my thoughts also have the power. And they have so much prowess that they can actually create, for momentarily, they can actually create the world as if, and they're constantly creating the world for me. My thoughts, as I'm thinking, the worlds are being created. Whatever thoughts come into my mind, it's being created as if they would show it in a Disney movie or something, right? And because we're a part and parcel of the fraction of it, we also do that in our dream state. As our thoughts are, however layers are on our mind, for that time period, we do create that very, very real feeling and sensing dream state of mind, right? The dream that we create, very real seeming. So that yesha lokam imam praja, whatever exists, he said, this is just, and so it's a very profound assertion, I think, because if he's something negative, something bad, something wrong, something hurtful, something, some injustice, one way with which I rationalize, at least in my own mind, if not fully, at least I'm able to slow down my emotions, is that, well, this is all coming from his thoughts. These are his thoughts manifesting. I am only looking at this partial view of it. Therefore, I think this is wrong and bad and all of that, unjust. But if I had this vision to look at the totality of it, if I could understand the full system, then I have no doubt that the sum total of it is right and good. And then towards the end of that chapter, the 10th chapter, this is what I wanted to bring out. He says, yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam urjitam evava. Whatever, wherever there is any shine, I'll call it. Whatever shining, whatever appears to be special. Because Arjun asked at the beginning of that chapter that, well, how can I see you? Where can I find you? You're saying you're on everything and everyone and all that. How specifically, how can I start developing that vision? And he says, start with that. When you see someone really beautiful, when you see someone very powerful, someone singing with a sweet voice, someone a virtuoso, very talented, very strong, very generous, anything that's special, like the shine, right? When we shine the shoes, some part of it, wherever the light falls, it shines. Like, wow, the knobs of the door of mandir, and like we shine, silver, gold, all that. Anything that's shining that draws our attention, that attracts us. He says, start from that. That shine is coming from me. That in itself, that thing that is shining does not have its own shine, because it exists in me. The shine is borrowed, it's coming from me. And so here, if you bring that idea, nirmana moha, if you realize that this man is, that the man that I'm seeking for myself, the limited me that I think is causing this moha, I don't want to let go of that. But those who have nirmana moha, gata sangha, jitta sangha, dosha. So this is where, when I said in the beginning, the association, sangha is association again. I think we've talked plentifully about association, who we hang out with. And it's not just the person, but the shows we watch and the music that we hear and the food that we eat, all of that, the surrounding, the environment, every bit contributes. Anything that we associate with, anyone that we associate with the whole time, the more we associate with external and outer, the more our mind's tendencies are going to go external and outward. And the more we associate with the inner, the mind's going to settle down in the inner as well. Okay. So jitta sangha dosha, just decoding that. So the implicit in this, that any association will bring some contamination. In our original state is pure, uncontaminated. It has become contaminated by association. Just like something rusts, right? Like when there is rust accumulates on iron or copper, or its original state is copper or iron or steel, but then stains or oxidation and all of that, that contaminant rusts it. Like that, any association for us is going to tamper with our purity. And so those who have completely asanga shatana, this disassociated mentally, naturally we're not going to be able to again disassociate externally. There's no way to run away from everyone. There's no way to just live a completely only six. It could not be that only those who never see anyone are the ones have a shot at yoga, right? And even still, they're alone. As I said, what we eat, what we drink, what we see, what we hear, all of that sansara is going through that anyway. So there's two kinds. I think last time we touched also two kinds of sansara, one is the external, the other is the internal. External sansara is not set in bad, not set in negativity. Now it's beautiful because it, those are his thoughts. What we make of it inside, andarka sansara, right, is the one. And so we would have to disassociate with both. We would have to be watchful. We would have to be careful. We would have to be thoughtful with the sansara that's outside, because we cannot completely leave it. We can moderate it. We can regulate it. We can, to a degree, control it through our choices that we make, but we cannot completely get rid of it. The inner one, though, we can practice and really disassociate from, the inner sansara. So jitta sangha dosha is contamination, is faults. Sangha will bring those faults, and those who have managed to disassociate from them will then remain pure. They call it noble metals. This gold and silver don't rust. They're noble because they've disassociated from oxygen. They're not hankering for oxygen anymore. They don't want to hoard oxygen, literally, chemically speaking. Those who want to combine, want more oxygen, want to combine, accumulate rust in the end, and they break. Gold as a noble metal, for example, or silver for the most part, is fine with its own original nature. It's never seeks anything else, and therefore it remains pure, and therefore it's valuable, it's precious, also it's used, it's an original state. So in a manner of speaking, it has managed to jitta sangha dosha. It has conquered this constant desire that then brings contaminant, that of association with outside and inside. at a minimum, we can associate with the inner truth, the spirit, not the samsara. So I'll let you process this. Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya. In its place, like I was saying, nitya, always nitya, adhyatma. Again and again immersing, again and again gravitating towards atma. In the eighth chapter, the 7-8 question that Arjuna asked, one of those is, what is adhyatma? And he explains, what is adhibhut, what is adhyatma, what is karma? When we're able to focus purely on the spirit, that adhi is prioritizing in Sanskrit, atma. When we prioritize atma, when we think, put the atma first, when we are thinking, when we're putting our abilities, our thought processes on the atma first, that's adhyatma. Adhyatmik jivan jite hai kate, na? Bade adhyatmik log hai. Adhyatmik ki sadhana kate. The way that it would show up if they're adhyatmik, what do they prioritize? Given a choice, where does their mind go? You can see this show or that show, which one are you going to pick? If you can read this book and that book, which one will you pick? If you can sing this song and that bhajan, what will you? If in the same 2-hour time period you have, you can do 100 different things, what do you prioritize? And when the atma is prioritized constantly, that's adhyatmic practice, that adhyatmic jivan. Adhi is quick, top priority, that's it. Adhyatma nitya. When the habitually, when they have become, the natural tendency has become of gravitating towards prioritizing the choices, mind has regulated to go toward that. Adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama. Nivritta is retiring, right? Finish job. When someone retires, they say, okay, that's the end of it. I've turned off. I've unplugged. I'm going to stop it. What kama, kamana, desires. Unsmitten by desires. One who is not attracted anymore by desires. That, yeah, maybe this, maybe that. I wish this, I wish that. Ye ho jaye, wo jaye. When the flame is turned off, it's nirvana. Buddha called it nirvana, but extinguished. Nirvana chetasa. When the fires of the flames of desires have been turned off completely, when one has had enough, when someone, for example, retires from work, I've worked enough, I've seen enough, I've accumulated enough, and I trust, I have faith that I will be okay from here until the end of my life. When the mind gets to that state of mind, well, get to that state, that enough, this isn't it. I want to go someplace else, do something different now, completely, other than desiring. That's nivritta kama. Vinivritta kama is vishesh. Really, really, completely cessation, right? Complete recession, cessation from desires. When that happens, adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama, dvandvair vimukta. Dvandva is sukha dukkha sanghe. In this, the third line of the shloks is sukha dukkha, the pairs of opposites are the dvandva, right? Constant pairs of opposites. Sanya is definition. Sukh and dukkha are defined, and the definition of sukha or dukkha is found in this constant battle, he says.
This Gita Yoga podcast will continue in the next session. Jai Shri Krishna.